Rising waters in Australia could make for rising prices.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. Nearly 24 people have died, and hundreds of thousands have been left homeless after the worst flooding in Australia in decades. And the Australian economy is also taking a big hit. Picture the size of Texas, and then add another half of Texas, and you'll get an idea of how much Australia is underwater. The BBC's Stuart Cohen is with us from Sydney with the latest. Good morning, Stuart.
Good morning, Steve.
I want to talk about this, the latest effect on the national economy there. What's going on?
Well, just a week ago, the estimates were that the total costs, both in terms of cleanup and the loss of income, we're going to be around $5 billion, and that's roughly about 0.5% of the entire GDP of Australia. Now that number has been tossed out, and they're talking about the costs more like an entire single 1% of the GDP, which is pretty big for just one natural disaster. The projections now are that this is going to cost more than the devastation of Hurricane Katrina did in the U.S.
And what about the cost beyond Australia's borders?
Worldwide is likely to be from the Australian coal mining industry. Australia is the world's biggest supplier of coking coal, which is used in the making of steel. There are projections that the floods could remove over 5% of the coking coal from world markets this year, and analysts are saying that could raise prices by a third or more. And Queensland itself is also a big exporter of sugar, cotton, and wheat. So in our big globalized economy, you remove one major producer like that, and it's going to have an effect on prices of dozens of food products, manufactured goods, you name it.
Reporter Stuart Cohen in Sydney. Stuart, thank you.
Steve, you're welcome.
The European plane maker Airbus has just pulled off what it calls the biggest sale in the history of commercial aviation. The company has sold around $15 billion worth of aircraft to a budget airline in India. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports the deal is going to put a lot of pressure on Airbus's biggest rival, Boeing.
Airbus says its firm order includes 150 of its new A320neo jets. This is not a completely new plane. It's an upgraded version of the popular single-aisle aircraft. Airbus's decision to revamp the plane with a more fuel-efficient engine was controversial. Boeing dismissed the move. The US company said most airlines would prefer to wait for an all-new model. The deal announced today vindicates Airbus, says Laurie Price, aviation expert with consulting firm Mott MacDonald.
The key thing is that in a time of escalating fuel price, Airbus are offering airlines looking at re-equipment with an option that will give substantial fuel savings.
Boeing had indicated it would not carry out a similar revamp on its best-selling single-aisle plane, the 737. In the light of today's deal by Airbus, Boeing may now change its mind. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European and Asian shares are mostly higher today. Bank of China said it's begun allowing customers at its New York City branch accounts denominated in the yuan. It's a move that's set to expand the global reach of its Chinese currency. Wall Street yesterday, markets rose about 0.3%. The Dow added 34 points to end the day at 11,671.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. By Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud.
In Illinois, the legislature just passed a 66% income tax hike to help make up for a huge budget shortfall there. A lot of states are in the same boat, too, facing catastrophic spending cuts, even default. But no state has taken the ridicule and criticism for its budget fiasco as much as California. One columnist says that's unfair. The Golden State contributes a platinum share to the national economy, and the ribbing should stop. Brett Ahrens from The Wall Street Journal is with us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you say California isn't quite this pariah that a lot of people make it out to be, calling predictions of its default as hogwash. What's your reasoning?
This is a myth that has gone around and has been repeated so many times now that everyone just believes it. But the reality is California's economy remains very successful.
Give us an example of your idea of success.
Per capita, real economic growth. You look at how much an economy has grown per person in real terms. And over the last 10 years, California's grown about 15%. The average for the U.S. is less than 9%. California has grown faster than most other states in the union.
So it's growing at a faster pace. But you can't hide, Brett, the fact that the state has this daunting budget deficit. I mean, some are saying as much as $25 billion. I mean, how do you account for that?
No question there are problems. I mean, no one's suggesting it's fine. My problem is with people who think that it's somehow a basket case, you know, that they're sort of doomed.
By doomed, you mean bailouts. There have been rumblings of a California bailout, right, since the housing market collapsed here and everywhere else. But in your column, you say it's just the opposite. How has California bailed out the rest of the country?
What happens in America is that essentially the high-income, high-productivity, and high-cost states pay much higher federal taxes than they get back in federal spending. California has probably transferred about $600 billion to the rest of America in the last quarter century. America has been an enormous beneficiary of the Californian economy. You know, if you want to use a European analogy, they are Germany, they are not Greece. They have been pouring money into the system. The idea that somehow this state is on welfare, that the rest of us are, quote, propping it up, is nonsense.
Brett Ahrens, columnist for The Wall Street Journal. Brett, thanks.
Thank you.
And finally, speaking of budget cuts in California, a lot of state workers are about to get disconnected from their state-paid cell phones. Governor Jerry Brown issued an executive order that'll cut off 48,000 state worker cell phones by June 1st, saving the state about $20 million a year. Can you hear me now? I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
We're all used to tech-savvy upgrades for cars and phones and computers, so why, oh why, are we still lugging around plastic cards to pay for everything?
I'm sitting here uncomfortably in this interview with a big chunky wallet in my pocket.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Wallets as a thing of the economic past. That and the numbers from Wall Street, today's business news as well. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.